This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA plus community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Thanks for listening to a Joycast from Joy 94.9.
Looking from a window above, it's like a story of love. Can you hear me? Came back only yesterday. I'm moving farther away. Won't you near me? All I needed was the love you gave. All I needed for another day. And all I ever knew.
Alison Moyet burst onto the British music scene in the early 1980s as half of the electronic duo Yazoo, recording hits such as Only You, Nobody's Diary and Situation. After the Yazoo split, she went on to become the most successful English female singer-songwriter with a very strong solo career, recording and performing some of the most iconic music of the 80s, including Love Resurrection, All Cried Out and Invisible. She's released an album of brand new music this month called Other, and will be embarking on a world tour shortly that will see her touring Australia and New Zealand in October this year. Alison Moyet, welcome to Joy 94.9.
Thanks very much for having me.
First of all, can I just say, Alison, congratulations on this album, Other. It's a remarkable album. I mean, I've listened to much of your music, but this feels very personal, this album.
People often imagine that you're writing really, you know, personal things when there's a lot of kind of weep in it. You know, with this, it's far more fundamental than that. I've had a lot of changes going on in my life. An invisibility you get when you're middle-aged, instead of being constantly commented on, I am the one who can be the voyeur. And it is personal in a sense. It's not always about me being at the centre of it. You know, I'm dealing with other people's situations, but in a very personal way.
I don't know precisely which day coloured me other. Perchance it may have been a slow bleed. So I cut out whichever shape I need. I don't sue for rescue. I'm as free as I have ever been. Don't want another rock to hang about my neck. You see bejeweled, I see bedecked in dead stars.
In terms of the things you do as a musician, if you could pick between writing, recording and performing, I mean, obviously you seem to love performing because you're coming out and doing a bender of a tour. Yeah. What is your favourite part of the industry?
Well, they're all so very different and they all have their moments. You know, writing I find really torturous, but when you've written something that you feel is really good, then there's no high like that. I mean, that's the most amazing high. The studio is about, you know, hyper-focusing. Singing live, that's the time when actually that you get a physical change, when you get a physical high. There's something about singing that is really pleasurable to the body and about opening up your throat and a complete, you know, an animal yell and then connecting with people. You know, I love that. That's when the adrenaline really goes.
Well, you get that sense when you see you performing live.
It goes on as opposed to go away, you know, I'm not catatonic. It's the biggest tour that I've done since 1987, so yeah, 30 years.
You've literally not been to Australia since 1987?
I did fly out to do a Pride one time, and I got there, and they'd forgotten to put my slot in. It didn't work out. Well, they said I could lip-sync about 3 o'clock in the morning. I thought, no, I'm not doing
that. No. Dear me, that's extraordinary. Now, here's a question that I think is going to shit you to bits, and I think you've been asked it a lot, but I've got to ask because people keep saying it. Even when I said to people this week, interviewing Alison Moyet, they're like, oh my God, she's the Adele of the, you know, of the model. And I'm like, why do people keep saying that? And what's your take on why people keep going to that?
It doesn't detract from me at all. I mean, when I first saw her on the television, you know, as a bigger woman, I thought, I'll give it seconds before someone says that she's me. And, you know, for me, I based that just on, I suppose, on fat, you know, on fat prejudice. And they did indeed straight away say it was me. But I get that there's kind of a more profound connection in the sense that we were both a bigger women who sung torch songs in a kind of a plaintive way in an arena where most people are trying to just be euphoric, you know.
Yeah, I think it goes beyond fat.
You know, it's like whenever you saw, you know, any of the flipping X Factor stars, you know, it's like you just know all the fat ones always get told to do my music. Like there's some kind of strange correlation between body weight and musical taste.
Well, your physical transformation has been extraordinary, and it's only extraordinary to us because we've seen you periodically over 30 years.
I've always gone up and gone down all the way down the line.
Right.
You know, I'm heading back up again. Hurrah!
Well,
I just think at 56, my body's got the right to be anything it wants to be.
Yeah, absolutely. And if you want help stacking it on in Melbourne, I know a few places you can visit. Don't worry about that.
I think it's because I suddenly discovered alcohol. It's been like really bizarre that I barely drank before I turned 50.
I do love it. Get to 56, you might take up smoking shortly. It'd be great.
I've only just given it up.
Oh, really?
Okay.
Led astray from your heart, keep us so near while apart. I'm not alone in the
One of the great things, Alison, about researching for this interview was getting to dig a little bit deeper in YouTube and find little nuggets of stuff that I, you know, could uncover. And one of the great things I found was you being presented an award by none other than Dawn French. And she gave the most complimentary speech about you. She obviously adores you, and you obviously go way back.
You know, she's one of my very, very, very best friends, and we've been, you know, busy since I was like 21.
She revealed that you were her wedding singer, and that just blew my mind because I've always just thought that Dawn French and I would at some point be besties. I don't feel the need to try and make it happen. I just assume it's going to happen. I'm getting on a bit now. We both are, but it hasn't happened yet. But maybe if, you know, I need a wedding singer, I don't know. How did that come about? She just called on you
I just have to be in the locale. No, but she, I did do her wedding singing, and that was like a, you know, I'd say it's an honour, but it's not an honour because she's my best mate, you know. So it felt completely fitting, you know, but it was a beautiful wedding and she's married to a fantastic man and so I'm just really, really happy for her.
Yeah, but it's hard when you got to work, when you're actually gigging at a wedding, I'm sure. Lucky you didn't discover booze back then. You know, you could stay sober for the event. And then I found a version of you singing Love Letters. Dawn French and Jennifer Saunders are just clowning in the background.
Oh, yeah, that video. Yeah, gotcha.
I was watching it and then I thought, this is so bizarre because Alison Moyet is doing this beautiful, smoky, smoky ballad, completely deadpan, and they're just goofing off around. I just could not reconcile what was going on and I loved the shit out of it.
I've done a few things with them and that's the hardest thing. It's just, you know, it's like you're sitting there and inside your body's shaking and you're desperately trying to keep your jaws together, you know, or just sing the right words. But I've done a few things on their shows. We've sung Christmas songs together and we go back a long way. Invisible is the one song that I've not sung for 30 years, never sing again. I do All Cried Out, I do Love Resurrection. It's just Invisible is completely off the spectrum for me. You know, it's a great song and I'm not knocking the song. It's just doesn't, you know, as a woman where I am now, I can't be doing without whining anymore. I can't be doing that. If, you know, man is doing you wrong, kick him into fucking touch.
And do you know what? I respect you for that because there's quite literally nothing that happened to me in 1985 that I want to revisit upon any population at all. So the fact...
I'm too centered for that now.
I love it. And there's one thing that I heard you say in an interview, which was that there's a fakeness to that song in a sort of American twang that you put on.
You know, American music was very important, in the 70s and, you know, the years that I was growing up in. And so we all did that. But I found as I'm getting, I've been finding this for a long time, how much more entrenched in my own Europeanness I am and in my own accent. American accent's lovely. Why would we sing in an accent that isn't our own?
Looking from a window above, it's like a story of love. Can you hear me? Came back only yesterday. I'm moving farther away. Won't you near me?
One of my favourite songs, certainly of yours, is Only You, and I love the original version, but then I came across the version you sang live for Burberry, the Spring-Summer Collection launch year before last.
Oh, yeah.
You're singing with a 30-piece orchestra, taking all the focus away from the poor little models that are strutting up and down, and you're just totally the focus of this fashion. I've never seen a fashion show centred around a singer, and it was a beautiful rendition. But I listened to the original side by side with that, and I thought, it's really interesting. You've really opened up your vowels, and you've got an accent, a British accent in this version of it, it seemed to me. And I'm not sure if that's just the way your voice has matured, or you just...
To be fair, with Only You, the original one, that was still quite a British accent. I wasn't very American on that one.
Mm.
But yeah, the voice has changed. And of course, you're comparing a recorded voice to a live voice, And when I first made that record, that was the first recording I'd ever really made, Only You.
Mm.
So I had no studio technique or studio experience at all. Before that, I'd been playing in punk bands and blues bands in sort of like real divey kind of clubs where the PAs were really terrible. And so you used to compensate by singing really loud, thinking that if you couldn't hear yourself, if you sung really loud, somebody would. So when I first went into the studio, even with the Yazoo, it's like, I was blowing the mics off because no one was supposed to sing like that in a... in a studio setting. So it has a kind of a hardness and an edge to that when you're singing with better PAs, you can focus better on nuance, if you know what I mean. You can hear what you're singing, so you adjust it more as opposed to just thinking, I'm going to power my way through this.
Well, it's a beautiful piece and I loved it entirely.
Thank you.
Famously broke into the industry by singing in your own punk band for years. In my understanding, Vince Clark just approached you for a demo, and that became the actual first single for Yazoo.
The demo didn't, because the demo was done around his flat. He had a four-track, a Porter studio, so it was just done onto cassette tape. So obviously the quality of that wouldn't have been good. But from that demo tape, the record company heard it and said, you should record it. So we went into a studio in some downtime and recorded it. But, it took 2 days to do.
If you were you... Now, back then, say 15-year-old, 16-year-old Alison was alive now, what do you think would have been your path? I hate to think that you would have ended up on X Factor and gone that journey.
I think that where the problem is that fame becomes the goal before the art does, you know what I mean? And for those kids, it's unfortunate for them because they're going out there, they're making their way doing covers.
Mm.
And this is what the industry is like now, it's really difficult to break new music for those acts that go on those talent shows. No one cares about longevity in their career, neither the audiences nor the people that make the records. And so what they do is they give them all these promises. They think that they're going to have this life of this kind of attention, but it's only due to the television show. They might get a hit off it if they do well, but then it's just on to the next year's facsimile. So yeah, on one side, I think, well, you know, those kids, whether they are broken out in my world when I was young, I very much doubt it, because having a good voice wasn't enough. It isn't enough, you know. Not enough at the end of the day. You have to have more about you than that. And so many people have good voices, don't they? We heard them in the choir at school all the time. They're great voices. You hear it from your family when you're singing around. There's good voices. It's not a big deal to have a good voice. You have to have more than that.
When I was your girl, I didn't know that I would end where you begin. More beautiful in your skin. No matter of regret, this loosening curl, teasing you out. When I was your girl, in my room, you said we'll stay here for an endless year. Close the door, we're letting no one near. When I was your girl, and then today,
I want to talk about the tour. I want to talk about who you're bringing out, who's on stage, and the kind of show that we're going to get with this, the other tour.
Okay, so I've gone back to, you know, as you're aware, the electronic backdrop. So we come out as a three-piece. There's me and two synth players who sometimes play bass and guitar, but on the whole, it's an electronic-based set. I run the gamut through the years. There's an emphasis on Yazoo. There's an emphasis around the hits around the Alf album. There are other kind of hits and kind of oddities along the way, and then there's a good representation of the Minutes and other, both of which were electronic albums. So the thing to expect is there are, you know, there are certainly enough hits in there. It's a good idea to research those last two albums because they will be present. Mm. But it is quite a euphoric, energetic, and also grim experience. There'll be no jazz. It's not strings. There's gentleness, but that comes from the quiet observation as opposed to the fact that it's a ballad-led thing. I'll be keeping out your way. Every dead night, oh, I'd pay. They were never satisfied. Talking about LGBT, I mean, there's a song on the album called Rarest Birds, which is very much about this community that, you know, like I say, I've moved to Brighton, this place that is full of diversity, and this is a song completely discussing someone coming out and taking their hand and squaring up to every oncomer. And the great joy about Brighton is that it's a free society. There's no eyebrow raising. Everyone belongs together.
Yes, and you can get really good fish and chips.
You can get very good fish and chips.
That's right. I see no reason why we shouldn't play you out on that. This is Rarest Birds from Alison Moyet's latest album, Other. Alison Moyet, thank you so much for joining us on Joy 94.9.
It's been my sincere pleasure. Thank you for having me. I'm really looking forward to seeing you all.
Well, chukas for the tour, and we'll see you in Melbourne October 7th.
Wonderful.
Thanks, Alison. Great.
Bye-bye.
Bad.
Okay, cheers.
See
Bye.
In this town, forget who you are, remembering who you were meant to be. Find yourself bearing easy, mercurious high, a Eurexy, sad cloth. Is this? It's dreadful party dress. The lights are strung like bells, so offer your throat. And if we hang, then we hang in the stars. Take my hand and come, be the hostess girl. Skip a grace note on your heel, to whichever hymn you please. The city walk by Dev.
Big thanks to Alison Moyet. She's touring Australia this October and guaranteeing a mix of old and new tracks. She's performing one show each in Perth, Adelaide, Melbourne, Sydney and Brisbane. She'll be in Melbourne Saturday, October 7th, playing the Margaret Court Arena. Tickets for all shows and further info at wsticketech.com.au. You can get more info on her own website, www.alisonmoyet.com. M-O-Y-E-T, Moyet. For grey, pulling at your face, trying not to frown. Like this, and you hold up your party dress. The
is a free service brought to you by Joy 94.9. Support Joy 94.9 by becoming a member at joy.org.au.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.